Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Just great. Excited about tonight.
Oh, yes. Tonight's show, Dreaming a Bigger Dream by Claiming Our Gifts from the Shadow. Tonight we talk about having a bigger dream for our lives than we imagine possible by claiming the gifts that our shadow has been holding for us. So, yes, I'm very excited about tonight's show, and tonight we're going to we're not going to do emails because I was just terrible about doing anything this week. I've been so busy. But I really felt like tonight's show was so important that we really needed to focus on it. And also, last week's show did not get put into the archives, so a lot of our people that write didn't get a chance to hear it. But for all those listening, we're transferring servers at the station, and they're having to put them all up by hand, so it will get up. Trust us.
It's a big job.
It is a big job, and we appreciate Don an awful lot for all the work that he does. And you
thanks,
know,
Don.
CBS Radio is growing so dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful broadcasting. So, instead, I want to talk about what's going on out there in the news. Boy, this was depressing as hell for everybody.
Now, wait a minute. Is the news actually, would you say it's a reflection of our shadow collective?
Yeah, I really would.
Okay.
You know, just today, a new form of fatal staph that's popping up in schools across the country, killing more people than AIDS. The House failed to override Bush's veto of the child health care bill for 10 million children, underprivileged children. Russia and Iran are now coming together against the U.S. over Iran's rights to develop nuclear arms. And that means if we make a move towards Iran, Russia is going to jump in to defend them. The housing market is in the midst of collapse as prices are tumbling and loans are coming due for a dramatic increase in payments for those that bought in the last several years. Violence everywhere. They just arrested the man, and this probably was national news, at least my understanding is it was, that we had somebody here in Las Vegas who filmed molesting a little three-year-old child, and it was actually kiddie porn. And they finally caught him. He was arraigned today, and it was really, it's very sad. This man knows that he's dead, no matter what they do. They're waiting for him in prison, literally.
Hmm.
And the local prisoners have said that if he gets into jail, they'll find a way to kill him. I mean, he's not going to, I don't give you 2 cents for this guy. Earth changes and global warming, a disappointment with our government, certainly, and the way that things are going with the war and the economy, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. So if you've been paying attention to the news, it's really difficult to dream a bigger dream for you and your planet. And, you know, it takes the wind out of our sails and drops our resonance, and it's never been more important than right now to do what we need to do. And who's going to do it if we don't, Ronnie? I mean, that's really the bottom line. There are others out there on the planet who are dreaming a bigger dream, and we need to join them.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but there are so many on the other side of the veil waiting for us to step into our power and start dreaming these bigger dreams. They will join with us. They will not do it for us. They can't. It's our planet. But they are able to have even more impact than they have in the past. Something big's going on out there. Again, they're not going to do it for us. Now, there is intervention wherever there's been an attempt to use nuclear arms on the planet. There have been direct interventions. They did get clearance from the Federation, even though we're under quarantine to do that. And that's a biggie. But we came for this time. This is the time we came for. This is the big push right now. You know, when things get the bleakest is when we as the courageous adventurers really need to step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the purpose, you know, I felt of the title for tonight. And, you know, I wanted to say, too, that everybody listening tonight is a healer of some type, whether you're an inspirer or a teacher or a lover, and I'm not talking about sexual lover, but a lover of people.
Well, that, too.
Yeah, well, that, too. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's so foreign to me. You're all here to do something, and I believe that all of you really are already doing it in some fashion. And we've all spent our lives preparing for this. I just don't think enough people have spent any time really doing a real thorough life review to look at what they were preparing for. And, you know, Ronnie, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier. That, you know, I'd love for you to tell what you did as a child, because this is such a wonderful story.
You mean as reflective of what I want to be in my heart and soul?
Absolutely.
And that was about, I come from a family, a bunch of us kids, and we like to sing, and we like to sing harmony at a very young age. But around 4 and 5, I used to like to set up a little concert and take the lead and charge a penny admission with all the neighbors. And I didn't think about it. That was the right thing to do, you know.
Well, and it, you know, what's so perfect is that that's what attracted you then, that that was something that gave you great joy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the gifts that are sitting in the shadow. It is that very energy, the joy that you got out of doing that, and the fun. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, everybody listening has gotten beat up. You know, I mean, as a group, everyone in this audience took on far more than the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie and I know you must see this with your clients, at least I think you do,
mm-hmm.
that we're dealing with people who, it's incredible to me, and I know with my clients, all that they have taken on in this lifetime.
And you know what's really funny? This is going to sound like an aside, but I think you'll get it, that we're always talking about it all begins with really loving yourself, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And who beat us up as kids, especially a lot of us in little Catholic schools, if you really loved yourself, you got a licking.
Yes, you did.
In the name of God, you know. So there were 4 or 5 of us talking over the last couple of days, different clients, you know how we get kind of a stream of certain thoughts.
Absolutely.
And all saying, yeah, right, here I am trying to love myself, and I still wince, I still flinch, you know. So it is a big training ground we're in here.
You mean over the guilt of loving yourself, of being selfish?
Yeah, or just even being aware that, wow, I always have to go through this little prickly threshold when I really want to work on loving myself.
Well, I think, you know, religion has taught us that we were here to suffer and sacrifice.
Right.
And not to love ourselves. And
we used to say, oh, goody, I'll just suffer some more and offer it up. Now if you say that, you have to go for therapy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because of the clients I have in other parts of the world, I'm always fascinated by the fact that I don't see it in their energy field, nor do I feel the very thing that you're talking about. They don't have it woven in the way that we do. They have a much healthier attitude about their sexual lives and about life in general, and they don't tend to carry that guilt gene.
This is sort of the Puritan ethic that founded this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to agree that people seem to have a more robust appreciation of sensuality and normal human appetites in these other countries.
And also self-love,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of deservability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking. You know, I've had some people in third world countries where their life experience, where the women were dominated, and their experience was different. And you know, so I'm not talking about those necessarily. But in some of the other countries, I am. Norway, Italy, Austria, Australia. You know, when you get into Saudi Arabia, Africa, some of those other countries, different. South America. Oh, well, the women are very, they do have a healthy attitude.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and it, and what
they
about
have that nice Latin panache about expressing
yes,
themselves.
Yes, they do. Also in intentions, and, you know, I hear this a lot, and I'm sure that you hear it too, which is, what is my purpose or what is my divine contract?
You bet.
And, you know, this is the belief that we're handed some piece of paper that says, here, this is what you're to do when you go to Earth. And there's always a general format for what you're coming here to do. There's no question. But the details are really up to us.
Hmm.
How we create that, and this is why, you know, going back to childhood, I mean, Veronica, you performing.
Yes.
And your love of performance, okay, has carried you through in your desire to be on radio and
right.
to be in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing that has, that's your excitement, that's your dream. Now, you tend to dream big. You want to go big, don't you?
Well, but I want to say the other part of it was I used to see things and I wanted to always go inside as well so that I could see other lives and other universes. I mean, I was very conscious of that too.
Oh, of course.
So that's just as strong a drive.
Well, it's not...
Well, a lot of people don't get that clarity either.
No, they don't. And, you know, like you, I used to sing. I was alone so much, and I would put on Broadway 78 records, and I would sing with all the different performers. And, you know, I always had a hairbrush in my hand, which was my microphone or anything I could conjure up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I modeled as a young child. I did a lot of runway modeling. And, you know, I was always, I grew up in Hollywood, so I was around movie stars everywhere. I mean, you know, performance was just kind of a way of life in that town, especially at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I took acting lessons and, you know, did small theater. And so, I mean, I loved the whole concept, but I also had this very shy side of me, which, like you, was very introspective, wanting to know more, wanting to go within. So in a way, you and I are very similar in that respect.
And it sounds sort of schizoid in a way, but it's the extreme out, extreme in.
Well, I think that intrinsic sense of spirituality, of wanting to understand how it all works, who we really are, you know, the that connection to our source. Anyway, going back to other people's purposes, and I really wanted to talk about this tonight in terms of what excites people. And I think everybody is so busy these days because time and space is shortening up.
Mm-hmm.
So people are feeling incredibly stressed that there's so much to do. They feel a sense of being overwhelmed by time, which is a whole nother that's a whole nother show.
And you feel that speed up in kind of an intrinsic energy moving through the body. At least that's how I feel it. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
It's hard just to sit and have tea with your friend.
Just what?
It's hard to sit and have tea with your friend.
Yes, it is. It's hard to have time to talk to your friend. But that part of being introspective right now is really critical, and I would really recommend everybody just to get a tablet or a small journal and start really journaling about your dreams. What is your dream? What is it you really want to do? What excites you? Now, if it's to be famous, and I got to say this, okay, that's going to kick your butt, okay, because ultimately, fame right now is not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is making a difference. Everything else will come with it, but the ego is the one that wants to be famous.
I just wanted the great clothes.
Veronica, you can have those today.
Okay. Okay, I'll go get them.
Those you can have today. You know, I think the other thing, and, you know, and I want to caution people with this one, too. You know, I have people that have some of the most amazing intentions And, you know, some of them are very diligent. They've got them categorized, and it makes me giggle. They're just fabulous. And I have one client who has very specific intentions and got them broken down into her spiritual intentions and her physical intentions and her intentions for her family and for business and for her impact on the planet and her relationship with the cosmos and her guides. And it's absolutely incredible, you know, when I look at those intentions and print them out. Sometimes they're 3 pages.
Good for her.
And absolutely, great clarity about intentionality. And this particular person, and I want to share this story because it's such a great story. One of her intentions that she's had for years, and she made this conscious choice, that because she was going to make this her last lifetime, she wanted to experience the best of everything on earth. And she held that intention so singularly, so tightly. She is now engaged to a billionaire, and she just came back from a week in Paris where he spent $75,000 on her.
Wow.
On her 1 week trip in Paris. And and of course, they flew there in his private plane and so on and so forth. And interestingly enough, she is not marrying him for his money at all. You know, she is very consciously, and that's part of her intentions, is about building her own company and her intentions for that. And, you know, creating her own wealth. And she's one of my idols because I love the way that she works her consciousness in terms of being very clear about being her own individual. And, you know, for so many, the reason I bring this up is because of the, and I see this almost as an archetype. In childhood, so many of us had the dream of being the princess, where the white knight would come, you know, on his horse and save us, you know, from the mean mommy and daddy, and carry us off and take care of us, and we'd live in this beautiful castle. And, you know, this was part of the archetype, of course, born out of fairy tales. And that particular fairy tale can really get us in trouble. Is this making sense to you?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it a lot, though.
Okay, good.
I'm wondering if the archetype is born out of the fairy tale or the fairy tale is born out of the archetype.
Well, both. Yes.
Because it does, it pumps through us, and I knew people who are older and dying who still had that dream.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that particular... we as individuals, and what we're doing right now, integrating our masculine and our feminine, we are in the process of recognizing our impact on the planet, which is huge. And Ronnie and I were talking about this earlier. Mm. That Steve Rother, the group came out with a channeling last night, and it was all about our impact on the earth and walking softly on the earth and having a relationship with the earth. And, you know, that's something that has been very personal to me for many, many years. And I've always believed that when I was on the road, no matter where I went, I always set the intention that wherever my car went, I was having impact and I was sending healing into the earth and into everyone that I passed on the road. And I would, when I would get to a specific city, I would take some time in the parking garage or wherever I was to actually flood the community with love and the earth wherever I was. And that was just reserved time. And I've thought about it in retrospect, and I thought, well, what made me think that I had the authority to do that or that I could have that kind of impact? But I've always believed that I could and did. And, you know, what the team and those that I work with have said, it's because I was willing to claim responsibility and authority that they could join with me to expand that impact so that it could have a greater impact. that this is what they're waiting for everyone to do, and I've talked about this and woven this into many different programs about how important this is for everyone.
To be a part of that wave of consciousness that's moving out there is a steady thing, isn't it? It's always putting it out.
Well, yes, and I think that believing that you can make a difference in, when you start making a difference in small ways, graduating to the big ways is very easy. When you believe that your impact is everywhere, including, you know, walking out to the trash, stopping at the gas station, going to the grocery store, whatever you may be doing that may feel menial, but it's not. There is nothing that you're doing right now that's menial. Absolutely nothing. So, you know, but it really is now time to dream that bigger dream and again, begin it in small ways. If that's the way you need to do it. If you're not doing things, in other words, if you have this big dream and you put this big dream out there, whatever it may be, okay, I want to be an international author and travel the world. Begin doing something in alignment with that. If that's your dream, you know, and you love to write, okay, then that's a realistic dream for you. If you really love to express yourself and you can hardly wait to sit down and write and express yourself, that's a realistic dream. That's part of your soul's purpose if it excites the hell out of you. Now, if it's drudgery, it's probably not part of your soul's purpose. Does that make sense?
It sure does. I'm just thinking that I may not be doing housework anymore. it doesn't excite me or lift me.
No, and it doesn't me either. That's why I have somebody clean my house.
Me too.
It doesn't excite me to cook. My children know if they come to see me, you know, I have hors d'oeuvres. You know, that's as close as you're going to get. But don't expect me to make you a meal. and it's not that I don't love them. I'm too damn busy. That doesn't excite me anymore. I did all that. And, you know, and I would feed, you know, 50, 60, 70 people on the holidays, you know, and rent huge bank. That doesn't excite me anymore. I don't have time for it. That is not part of who I am. Now, you know, I also want to say to people, this is not a time to quit your job or leave your spouse, unless that's something you really want to do. But if you're going to quit your job, be responsible enough to make certain that you have money to carry you and where you want to go, something you want to do. You know, I have to be careful about what I say to people because being responsible is taking care of the basics of your basic needs. But when you start working towards that dream, when you start dreaming big, you'll start attracting things in to support that when that's really your focus. And if you're not supporting things or bringing things in to support that, then you may want to relook at what you're doing or go back into your shadow and see what happened, how your dreams got stolen as a child. Are there gifts sitting in there?
How do we find the gifts that are in the shadow?
I'm sorry?
How do we find those gifts in the shadow?
Go back to your childhood. You know, how many, we'll just talk about us for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, okay, Veronica, you mm-hmm. had all of this enthusiasm and beauty and joy.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay, but you were in a familial situation that really tried to squash all of that, didn't it?
Right, very much so, yeah. And it was quite depressing as far as our gifts went. They were always like the wrong thing to do. So.
Okay, so all the gifts that you had, you were told that those weren't real gifts. Get rid of them.
Yeah, that's just you wanting attention or...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've seen so many children in readings and so on, and if they have this certain kind of light, when I look into the soul journey, if they have a certain kind of light, I know that kid is going to want a lot of attention because it has to get a lot of attention when it gets into its journey when it's older.
Right.
And it really helps get along with the kids if you know that they have to be that way, you know?
Right. Makes perfect sense, Bonnie.
Yeah, and it's kind of a gift to know what children, how do you help your grandchildren come up with their gifts? It's a really big art, isn't it?
Well, no, and that's a great gift that you have, darling, a great gift. But let's go back to you, okay?
Sure.
So those gifts that you had, what did your parents say to you about them?
My whole family liked to perform, but basically I was too much. I was too demanding, you know. Basically, settle down, be quiet, be like the other kid, that sort of thing. There was a lot of shame, too, in the old days, good old nuns and all.
Right.
Yeah, we got shamed a fair amount.
Well, you know, I had a client the other day. And she grew up with a family, and they were all singers.
Mm-hmm.
And her father, she was singing one time, and her father shut her up. And I can't remember the verbiage. Unfortunately, I don't remember sessions, but it was something about her sounding like a frog or something like that. She never sang in the choir again.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost her voice, not only in singing, but she lost her voice.
Mm.
And literally, I mean, this is the, you know, proverbial putting your light under a bushel, okay? And here she is at this stage of her life now reclaiming that. We did a power retrieval, and her throat chakra was such a mess as we undid everything and took it all out and took it all apart. And what I could see, you know, because I do see pictures during session, it was her finally not being willing to settle anymore in her life. And she had dutifully tried to please her husband and please everybody, and just her life got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and she's an incredibly gifted healer and an incredibly gifted person and charming and lovely and beautiful. And I can see her now getting ready to blossom back out into her dream. She had the dream, but with no way to get there.
And how old is she now?
Probably 50.
Yeah, it's not too late, but it's a lot of years, isn't it?
You know,
the power retrievals you did with me, every one of them, like my mother, my sister, my father, all of them had a huge throat thing to do with being blocked in the throat.
Of course.
And I loved to sing. I sang and sang. I even took singing lessons as a child and was in the choir. But the older I got, the more I felt there was something in my throat and I couldn't open it. So these power retrievals have literally pulled open my throat. You can't tell now because I have a dog and some allergies. But
that has not stopped you from singing to me this evening.
Yes. But there's nothing I love better than just singing. I don't mean like a performer, but just singing and singing. And it's not till I had, I think, the third power retrieval with a family member that my throat really started to open again. So that's just evidence for you of how wonderful that is.
Thank you. Well, we know that they're really, I won't even go into those because they are just amazing.
But actually, that does tell you how the point of view of the status quo in the family is what inflicts itself upon one another, isn't it?
It totally is.
Yeah.
And, you know, absolutely. And I see this over and over and over again, and I'm certain you do too, but for everyone listening tonight, we hope that this is kind of stirring some things in you to really look at where did you get shut down? How did you get shut down? Where did your dreams fall into the shadow? for the shadow to hold for you until you were ready, and the shadow is holding those gifts, waiting for you to retrieve them. Now, the question would be, how do I retrieve them? Sit down and go into meditation. Call in the shadow. And the shadow will come in as a shadowy figure. Humanoid, definitely, but shadowy. Not scary. Not intended, really, to be scary. I mean, if you want to be scared, you can. But and tell the shadow that you would like to reclaim a specific gift, whatever it may be. Perhaps it was your esteem. Perhaps it was your joy. Perhaps it was your hope. You know, so many people had their hopes dashed so much that they lost their hope.
Or else we took on a deepening sadness of our parents or whatever, too, and it kind of crushes, sits in the spirit, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Or the shadow, I suppose, yes.
And I would agree with you. There are so many people that took on, and certainly I see this every single day, some of them are too personal and too emotional to talk about on the air, and some of these people are still in process, and I don't want to stir things up for them. But in the reclaiming, and I read a couple of them last week about women, especially, who had held their fathers out either to blame them and make them the whipping boy, or the fantasy of the father. Certainly there are others with a mother.
I had an interesting experience when I was in my second marriage, and I was very depressed, and I knew it wasn't going to last. And I was driving to see a psychologist or psychiatrist one day, and I was the only one in the car, I thought. But then suddenly there was a being in the back seat right behind me, and I remember thinking, how inconvenient, she's sitting directly behind me and I'm driving, so I can't really see her as well as I'd like, you know. But turns out she was my, I believe, great-great-grandmother on my mother's side. And she was really clear about saying, I'm here, I'm the one who installed a really difficult attitude as women, and you've all been living it out. And this was many years ago, and it impacted me a great deal. Of course, I was going for therapy. And as I walked into my psychologist's office, he said, "Who's that with you?" And I said, "Well, this is my great-great-grandmother." It was quite funny. But it really sort of pinpointed a concept or an attitude that I was bearing really severely, probably.
Well, you know, this, you bring up a great point, because I have written in my notes tonight that your shadow is holding the keys to those dreams, and you didn't come into the planet the way you are now, but most of you came with imprints and other kinds of stuff from your lineage and parents and lifetime.
And is that the shadow?
No.
It's a cellular structure, right?
No, that's cellular.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional. It's in the emotional body. And some of it still needs to be healed. But you've come far enough to begin your dreaming regardless. But I can tell you with the sessions, this is the reason we started doing them and going back through lineage. Because it is exactly what you just talked about, Veronica, where the onset of this very distorted female role had been passed on from, what was it, your great-grandmother?
I think it was great-great.
Great-great-grandmother,
mm-hmm.
And that you were still carrying it. And many of us have come in to end those chains. Oh, well, in fact, everybody listening, we're here to end the chain of pain, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the chain of pain.
And it sure helps to want to end it. It helps to have those vignettes that give it some life, give it some movie to work with, you know.
Well, and, you know, sometimes you don't need to know. In your case, you needed to know it, Veronica.
Yeah, I must have, because she sure showed up.
Right. And, you know, people have asked me, you know, your grandmother must have been terrible considering how your mother was. And I would say, I really have no idea. I'm assuming it was a very unhealthy family. I think one of my friends asked me if I was raised by wolves after they heard something that my aunt had said to me, and it was, bless her heart. And, no, she asked if my family had been raised by wolves, and I believe the answer I gave her was probably yes. But this is a perfect example, though, of the things that I have one family that I work with that he's Lebanese all the way back, and she's Palestinian all the way back, and we work with both she and her husband and the two children. And the lineage factors are so huge.
Are they cultural? I mean, we get that, too. We get the cultural lineage as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because you have Lebanese Catholic and Muslim Palestinian, and so the lineage that these children carry is just amazing. And then both of the parents, their individual lineage, and I mean, you know, we've been able to back in through different issues in the body and trace them back, you know, generationally. And so it's exactly what you're saying, is that this is big stuff. But if we go back to, even though we've got these imprints, okay, the excitement and the fantasy of the child, you know, when we were still the magical child, before we lost our magic,
mm-hmm.
and try to remember whatever you can, you know, what kind of play did you do, you know, as a child? What was fun for you? You know, what were your real dreams? You know, what kind of dolls did you play with? I did a session today, and during the session, I remember I was really paying attention to this one because it was just loaded with stuff for my relationship with my daughter. And this woman, you know, always wore hand-me-downs and so on, and so she very much loves beautiful things, but her Barbie dolls had the best clothes. And, you know, it was part, so she was living her fantasies out through her Barbie dolls. And the Barbie dolls were the princesses.
Hmm.
And so, you know, this is going back to that princess archetype, okay? And still looking for the Prince Charming, the White Knight. Now, and she's done a tremendous amount of work on all of this, but it was very interesting during the session.
Do we do a power retrieval on archetypes?
Well, listen, I have people doing power retrievals with abductions and with states and with job relation and with relationships, and you know, we're just personifying, you know, those that have had tremendous issues with these particular areas. And it's been fascinating to see. I have one really courageous client who is willing to go out there, and, boy, she just puts the pedal to the metal on this stuff. And
is it a good idea to do a power retrieval on your relationship, even if you love your relationship?
Well, she did one on all relationships because the relationships she's had have been so distorted.
Hmm.
And taking her power back from all the distorted relationships that she's had. And it's been very experimental, but she's been willing to go out there, and her intentions have been really quite extraordinary. In some cases, taking her days to put them together.
Hmm.
So we've been seeing, and it's doing some amazing stuff. I'm fascinated. You know, I had someone ask me if they could take their power back from the collective, and I just kind of went, I don't think so, not yet.
Why not?
Well, there's a concern, Veronica. I mean, honestly, there is a concern about what is that going to do physiologically, and I'll give you a case in point. Years ago, 94, they gave me, I used to have a metaphysical group here in Las Vegas, and we had about 60 people, and there'd usually be about 25, 30 to 40 right in there every Sunday. And they gave me a process to take people back to the Akashic Records. It was really beautiful. to take them back to the record, to change their life contract. And one, it was very interesting to see, especially the young people did not want to do that. They didn't want to live longer. The young people did not want to live longer. It was too painful for them. The older people were all over it. They could hardly wait. And I had a date in mind. And when we got there, of course, the book was open and the date of birth was in there and then the date of death. And there was, you know, this inkwell and so on that you crossed it out and changed your date of death. I changed mine, and interestingly enough, not to the date that I had anticipated. I had a date in mind that was much longer. I went to write it, and I was not allowed to write it. I wrote the date that literally my hand wrote. It sent me into, and that's when I died. I mean, it literally sent me into a process that took me through my death experience and then 3 years of trying to integrate back onto the planet. And so, therefore, I'm very careful with people when they come forward with intentions that could send them into a tailspin, something that they're not really prepared to do. I was unprepared for what I did. And this is, you know, there is a good part of me believing I can do anything, and then there is also the downside. And that happened to have been the downside. And so, therefore, I'm very, very careful. I would think that that would make perfect sense to you if you think about it.
So it's like that in the huge context, we don't know all of our reasons and involvements and what dangers can lie in changing it.
If you think about taking your full power back from the collective ahead of a time where you are ready to do so, the kind of chaos that that could throw you into.
I have to say,
Yeah, there would be, there will be a time when that will happen. I don't know when it is yet. They have not allowed me to do it yet.
But it's very eerie when you do power retrievals and you're separating from members of your family of origin or something. It is so stupendous, each one, that I guess just the concept of the collective would be so humongous in our body-mind. Who knows?
Well, it was interesting. Just the one girl that did the one with the state, and she had some, but she had many lifetimes there, and some huge physiological stuff she went through.
Really?
Huge. So, you
know, the last power retrieval I did with my daughter, whom I love dearly, I got a cold right after, immediately.
Of course.
Of course.
I
didn't sign a paper.
I know. Well, remind me to get a disclaimer made up.
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting, actually. I felt lighter, freer, and a whole bunch of things, but I also got a cold. So I'm like, okay, so this might be just a detox thing, or my immune system dropped because I wasn't having my normal ballast or my normal ways of being safe and secure or whatever.
Well, I think that there, you were processing a whole lot of damage and sorrow that you'd experienced.
And so then one would trigger a detoxification.
Exactly.
Kind of quasi-illness sort of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting. I feel like it's you're right about the collective, because just one person, you go through such a huge shift.
Again, we're not ready to, and again, I go back to the whole thing of going to the Akashic Records. That one taught me a whole lot, and it's called caution.
Yeah, I guess it's like, what right do we have to interfere with something which might have a much greater purpose?
Well, if we're here to change it, and we've already volunteered by taking on so much in our lifetime, I'll give you a case in point. I have someone who entered a relationship, and it was a very archetypal relationship, very big. The partner is playing a huge role on the planet, politically, financially, every way. And so is this particular person, the part of the two partners. And the relationship was loaded with learning. I mean, oh my Lord. To look at what had to go, somebody had to go through to make this relationship work, and all of the stuff that had to be overcome. And in this process, which has been almost a year, this woman has gone through growth and learning, accelerated beyond anything I've ever seen, and the whole time screaming all the way through, you know, I want to run, I want to run, I want to run. And the answer was always the same. You know, why am I in this? Because you chose it. Why would I choose something like this? Because you wanted to make a huge difference on the planet. Because it's archetypal, and by going into this relationship, you can impact the archetypes, which is the framework of human consciousness. Do you choose to do that? Well, all right. And she'd go back into the trenches.
And how do you influence the archetypes then? I think I know in a way, but it's an interesting subject. Like, is it like being conscious of wanting the knight on the white charger? What is the...
Well...
Just being conscious about why you're having a bump and grind and a push-pull and a fight for power.
Someone who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they're single. Okay?
Let's say what?
They're single.
Okay.
And you fall in love with them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, they are playing out an archetypal energy of the leader, the emperor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The hierophant, in a way, all
mm-hmm.
right? And you enter into a relationship, and you're going to be part of the campaign, and you know you're going to have an impact. Now, that relationship is going to be fraught, okay, with all kinds of challenges. It doesn't mean they have to be terrible, but they're going to be challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take someone who is really playing out an archetype, and I've had other people like this that I've worked with and other people like this that I've known, it's a loaded relationship.
Partly because it has to begin about power, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The proper use of power, what do you do with power, the seduction of power, the destruction of power, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, mm-hmm. all of the things that come with it. And
or it's like we hear, when you're on the path, everything is like the edge of a sword in a way.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is the razor's edge.
Mm-hmm.
And there, so... When you come together with people like that, and you have, if you look at our planet and how many leaders on our planet are absolutely filled with integrity.
How many?
Did you want to count them out on one hand?
No, but I'm chuckling because I often watch and I'm intrigued by the link between power and sexuality, which can kind of take them awry pretty fast, too. Right?
Well, power is very sexual. Most men that I have, and I've dealt with a lot of very powerful men on the planet, there is a huge charge sexually to power. And because it does come out of that second chakra, that creativity and all of it that comes with the sensuality and the sexuality. And, you know, this has been part of our history on this planet. I mean, our history books are loaded with stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how we got onto this subject, but getting back to the dream, let's get back to our dream here.
We're talking about the knight on the white charger, aren't we?
Well, yes. But I want to get back to the dream for the planet as well.
Right.
If you could imagine, because we are Earth and Earth is us, we cannot be separate. It's impossible. We are connected to this planet. We are a reflection of this planet. This planet is a reflection of us. So the dream for ourselves and the dream for our planet coincide. They can't be separate. And who else is going to dream a dream for the planet if we don't? Now, there are other people doing this. But for us to sit back and say, well, let somebody else dream the dream for the planet, I don't want to do that. Because our experience is individual and subjective. Your dream for this planet is going to be your experience. My dream for this planet is going to be mine. We are our own universe, each one of us. And I see this every day, every day, every day. If you take two people and ask them about their experience, if they've seen something, even if they've experienced the same thing together, if you take them, their perception of what they experienced is going to be unique to them. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. And I think that's absolutely right. It's amazing we all get along.
Well,
isn't it sometimes? Yeah.
Well, I think that that's the exciting part of being here, mm-hmm. is that the more that we understand, the more that we recognize that we are each of us experiencing uniquely. And, you know, I have friends kind of all over, and as I talk to them, I'm always fascinated by their response to what's going on the planet. And I have one friend who, you know, if I bring up the subject of ETs, I can hear her go completely brain dead on the other end of the phone. And, you know, every once in a while she'll listen a little bit if I'm very careful about bringing it up. But her answer is always, if it hasn't been on the news, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always fascinated by her experience of the world, because it's so uniquely hers.
Hmm.
And
she probably feels the same way about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we laugh because as three friends, each one of us are so unique and each one of us experiences life totally uniquely. We've always said, together we're the perfect woman.
But that's really precious when you can actually experience the different subjective points of view and share with each other the amusement of that.
Absolutely, and honor it in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then laugh and giggle, mm-hmm. because we all know we're nuts, every one
of
us.
So I think you should run for global president with three heads. Be practical, be balancing us out.
So, going back to our dreams. So, Veronica, what would your dream for the planet be?
My first thought is just that evolution, the healing of the entire planet, and somehow it penetrates human consciousness and goes back in, and then the whole thing is more in harmony.
Well, and I see it
That's
more as
dream.
A figure eight, that as human consciousness heals, the planet heals, and as the planet heals, human consciousness, and it's a flow between them.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we're saying the same thing, just different words. Here
yeah.
we go. We're being subjective again. I think that it's going to be very shocking to many people, and I know I have so many people that write to me or call me and talk to me about animals and the planet and the way animals are being treated and mistreated. And you know, I think that as people come to a realization that what they have perceived as God is nature. All of nature is God. Everything is God. And nature is God as well. Every animal, every living thing. I think that our kindness and our... I think it's going to be very shocking to humans to understand it. Certainly the ETs know this very, very, very well. And I'm not going to speak for all races, but I will speak for those that I am intimately involved in with. And it is that, in fact, the kindness that we treat every living thing, you know, it's like People ask me why I don't spray my house. You know, and they'll see a bug going across, and I go over and I pick it up and I take it and put it outside. And, you know, I always go back to the movie The Men in Black, because to me every representation on the planet is also a representation of something that's out there. So I never... I just assume, you know, that before my eyes that thing could puff up and become, you know, an ET, and I, so therefore I kill nothing. And so, consciously. And Dolores Cannon said something really funny one day. And she said, you know, I don't like flies, and I figure if they come into my house, they came here to commit suicide.
So somebody quoted the Dalai Lama or some, yeah, I think it was the Dalai Lama, and they said, what do you do when the mosquito bothers you or something? And he said, I talk to it, I move it, and so on. If it stays there, I kill it. I don't know if that's true, but it was a hilarious story.
That's very funny. Well, you know, Bashar, especially back in the 90s, used to talk about bugs and how you could actually communicate with bugs and ants and so on and ask them to leave, and if you held the right resonance, that would happen. And that's been something I've always experimented with, and I did it even before Bashar had talked about it, so I always thought that was really quite humorous. And I found it interesting that... moving back to Las Vegas, which is normally loaded with ants, and there's this colony of ants that go up and down my front porch, and they have never come in the house, ever.
Wonderful.
Ever. And I always tell the bugs, don't come in the house because you won't live. And the frequencies in here are so high that you can see where they make it through the sliding glass door. They get about 5 to 10 feet and keel over, and I always feel so bad.
That's what that little sound is like, ah, ah.
All right. Veronica, tell them about your new show, because I think you're just doing phenomenal work.
Oh, I have a new show. My regular show is Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show, 4 o'clock Tuesdays. And at 5, it's Paradigm Shifters. So I have various people come on and talk about how they're working to shift paradigms, and we've been talking about 2012, and I believe my next one is going to be a sound healer who cured herself of breast cancer, went and studied music and worked at it even from the university level and shifted her breath. So we're having really a wonderful time. We had a near-death experiencer last time who's really informed, and my people loved that.
That is wonderful.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yes, I've heard wonderful things about your show. Even my clients are telling me how great your shows are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, clients. And you know who's coming on soon is Jackie Salvitti.
Yes.
And the team, but we're going to see when, because she has to make space, so I'm sure the team will decide.
And to everyone, dream your dreams, everybody. Start writing out your dreams. Whatever it is, and really play with it. You know, I'm doing it myself. I'm looking at, you know, I kind of talked with the team last night and said, what do you want to do the show on? And we got to dreaming a bigger dream, and they were like doing backflips, you know. I mean, not literally, but figuratively. And
so the idea is, Jackie, that we all dream to see the world healing itself and healing humanity and radiating to the ETs, right?
Well, not radiate. They're going to assist us.
Okay.
They're going to co-create with us. They're waiting for us to make choices.
Right on.
Okay. They can join with us. They can join their energies with our choices. We're here. This is our planet. We have to be the ones to make the choices, not only for our Earth, but for our lives.
Wonderful.
And all they're waiting for is us to take enough of our own power to believe that we can do things. And they want to join with us in helping to hold those dreams for Earth and for us.
Well, bless them. Bless us all.
Yes, bless us all. And I want to say, as I always do, that a piece of me is in every one of you. And you too, Veronica, and a piece of every one of you is in me. Can be no other way. We are all one. And we're all in this together, everybody. And I love you all. And Veronica, I adore you. You know that.
Thanks, Jackie.
And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Many blessings and good night.
Night, everyone.